Good morning. Certainly good to see everybody here this morning. It's good that we can come together and praise and worship our God. If you're visiting with us, we want you to know that you're welcome. Our goal here is to give God glory and honor and praise in all that we do. So we're glad that you're here with us this morning. Our prayers are certainly with the Yater and Chapman Fisher family as they're dealing with the loss of loved one. I know that we're going to certainly miss Alan's wisdom when he's here. He's been with us before and he's always done a great job. So I know we're going to miss him being here, but we certainly understand. So in the absence of that, there's several of us that are going to be speaking, and I'm going to be talking about some things this morning that I hope is beneficial as well. Our theme this year has been looking at kingdom citizens. Kingdom citizens. And so we're thinking about what it means to be a people of God. We're thinking about the kind of character that we need to have if we are to be citizens of the kingdom of God. And I think it's been a beneficial theme to think through this year. So it was pretty natural as we thought about VBS to talk about kingdom kids. Kingdom kids. And so I'd just like to reflect upon that theme for a few moments this morning. If you would open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And you'll notice in verses 4 through 9, this is an important text for, has been for Jews, and even today they look to this text as foundational. They call it the Shema, which comes from the first words in Hebrew of this text, which simply says, "Listen or hear, O Israel." And we don't do this too much anymore, but it used to be that you would have a town crier or someone that would come before and proclaim the news of something that had just happened. And that's kind of the impression I get as we look at this text, addressing the crowd, "Listen up, hear, O Israel. Listen to what I'm about to say." And I want you to notice that as we talk about this idea of what Israel needs to listen to, there's really three obligations that I see in this text. So the first one, he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Israel needed to listen up and believe that God is, that God exists, to believe that God is one. And so that was an obligation as the people of God, as citizens of the kingdom, as we think about that in the Old Testament, citizens of the covenant, that they were to believe in God. Believe in God. Secondly, he says in verse 5, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your might." Not only were they to believe in God and put their faith and trust in Him, but they were to love God. Love was an expression, not just a minimal thing here, but it was to be something of their entire being. Their whole hearts were to be given to God in love. Their whole soul, with all of their might, with everything within them. Nothing was to be reserved when it came to loving God. Nothing was to be held back or kept back. So he says to believe that God is and that He exists, to trust in Him. Secondly, to love God with everything that you have. And notice what he says in verse 7, or verse 6 and 7. "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children." So the third obligation it has here for those of the covenant, the people of God here, is that they would teach their children. Teach their children. So that's what they needed to hear or listen. This was foundational. Trust in God. Believe who God is. Love Him with all of your being. And then also to teach your children. So we think about this subject of kingdom kids. That's one of the things we're seeking to do here as well. And that is to teach our children. Let me reflect a little bit further on this idea of citizens of the kingdom. And so when they taught their children, they were teaching those that were part of the covenant. In fact, the males bore the sign of the covenant from 8 days old or from infancy of circumcision. And so children were born into the nation. They were born into the people of God. And then they were taught, as we see in Deuteronomy chapter 6, about God, about who He is. And they were taught to do the very same things that they were instructed in Deuteronomy 6. Believe that God is and love Him with your whole heart and your whole being. Notice in Jeremiah chapter 31, as we talk about a new covenant, as we talk about the kingdom as it extends into the New Testament. Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34. Here He says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." And I want you to notice particularly in verse 34. There is a difference between the old covenant, what we read of in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and the new covenant in Jesus Christ. One of the main differences there, it says, that you will no longer teach his neighbor and his brother, saying, Know the Lord. You see, that was a part of what the Israelites were to do. They were to teach their children who bore the sign of the covenant, who were part of the covenant of God. They were to teach their children to know God. But in the new covenant, that type of teaching is not to take place within the kingdom. Because those that are part of the kingdom will know about God. And let me explain that a little bit better. I'm not sure if I explained that well. Let me say it like this. One of the differences we see between the old covenant and the new covenant is that you are not physically born into the kingdom. But in the new covenant, it is a decision that you make to serve God. It is a choice that you make. And furthermore, it is an adult decision because you have to grapple with and grasp these concepts. You have to grapple with the fact that you are a sinner before God. That you have sinned before Him. That is your responsibility. It is what you have done. You have to acknowledge who Jesus is, that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You have to believe and trust in God and commit your entire life. You have to make that decision. Those are adult decisions that have to be made. And so you're not physically born into the kingdom, but as we look at John chapter 3, we see that we are born again into the kingdom. And this is born based upon our choice, not our choice alone, but our choice within what God has provided for us. So we choose to be a part of the kingdom. So when we're talking about those of the kingdom, there's no need to teach them to know God because they already do. Because they had to make that decision in order to become a child of God. So as we talk about kingdom kids, let me reflect on that a little bit as well. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, he says that He transferred us from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of His beloved Son. So as we think about those two states or conditions, the domain of darkness, those that follow after their own desires, those that live according to sin, those that follow after the ruler Satan, versus the kingdom of the Son, those that live according to light. When we think about small children, they really don't fit into either one of those categories. Small children are safe in the arms of God. They are safe in the eyes of God. They have not sinned in such a way so that their souls would be lost. They do not bear responsibility until they are old enough, mature enough to be able to make those choices and those decisions. So when we think about the Old Testament and the New Testament, in a way in the New Testament, children are not really part of the kingdom in the sense that we see in Colossians chapter 1. They've not been transferred there. They're not part of the kingdom. So let me just ask the question. So why are we talking about kingdom kids? Should we even be talking about that? And my answer to that question is absolutely. Absolutely. And we need to talk about kingdom kids for two reasons. I think the scriptures tell us and teach us that we need to be teaching our children about the kingdom. That was true in the Old Testament, but it's also true today. Now, children are not part of that kingdom, but we need to be preparing them, teaching them about the kingdom. And from the point of view of the children, children need to be listening to their parents and making preparations as they think about and as they lead toward the time when they would make that decision. So should we talk about kingdom kids? I believe absolutely. And we need to teach our kids about the principles of the kingdom, about the things of the kingdom, about God and about who He is. And I think it's a beneficial subject that we can learn a lot from this week, both younger and older. So those are my thoughts on citizens of the kingdom. So let me address those two things. First of all, we need to teach our children. Teach our children. Turn back, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I want to notice a couple of things. I have verses 7 through 9 there, but let me reflect on the earlier part as well. Notice he says the two foundational things are to believe, trust in God and who He is, and love God with all of your heart. All of your heart. He goes on to say, and these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. Belief in God, love in God is developed from the words of God. It comes from putting the words of God into our hearts, placing them in our hearts. As we treasure the Word of God, as we learn more about the Word of God, we will be led to belief and love of Him. Words are extremely important. Secondly, he says in verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to your children. We need to teach our kids about loving God, about believing in God. That naturally follows and extends from what we're to do with God, and that is to teach our kids the very same things, that they need to believe in God and love God themselves. It is an extension. Teaching is an extension of these thoughts, of these characters that we develop. And that we are trying to show to our kids. Trust in God, believe in Him, and love Him with all of your hearts. We need to be teaching our kids. Love for God is brought about from that. From what we experience, and then also the teaching through the Word of God. We need to teach our children. There are many examples in Scripture we see of this idea of teaching and teaching children. We see that with Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, he says to Timothy that I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. You see, those two women passed on or taught their kids about God and about who He is. And we see the importance of what that meant to Timothy. Timothy was who he was because of the teaching that he was given, because of the choices that he made based upon that teaching. The faith dwelt first in the grandmother and the mother, and then it was taught or passed down to Timothy. In 2 Timothy 3, 14 and 15, we see a part of that teaching process was teaching them about Scripture. In 2 Timothy 3, it says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. We need to teach our children as Timothy was taught, making them acquainted, making them to know the Scriptures. There's a lot of important things that we need to teach our kids. There's a lot of things that they need to learn socially, academically, you know, they need financially. There's a lot of things they need to learn. But most important is that they would learn the Scriptures. They would learn the Scriptures because notice the import of learning the Scriptures. Financially, you need to learn about those things so you can deal with money. You know, socially, so you can deal with people. But notice the import here of learning the sacred writings. He says these are able to make you wise for salvation. What is at stake in teaching our kids about Scripture is salvation. It is salvation. That they would be made wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. We are trying to teach our kids. We are trying to lay out a path and point them down a path of God. And there's going to be a lot of people, a lot of things, a lot of influences trying to take them off of that path. And so we need to be consistent and steady in our teaching, just as Timothy was taught. I think it's a great example as we look here at Timothy. Another example we see is Josiah. And we're going to be talking about a lot of examples throughout this week, both those that were young and those that are examples for the young. But Josiah is one that particularly comes to mind. In 2 Chronicles 34, verses 1 through 3, and I'll notice here in verse 1, it says, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in the ways of David his father, and he did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Consider how young Josiah was when he began to take on the reign or the rule of the kingdom of Judah here. He was 8 years old. He was a child, wasn't he? Now, as the writer here summarizes his entire life, we see of Josiah that he was one that did what was right. He did what was right in the eyes of God. He was faithful to God. Notice verse 3, we see really when some of that began. Now, I believe that Josiah would have been taught about God before this, but notice the decision that he makes in verse 3. For in the 8th year of his reign, so if I do my math right there, he's about 16 years old, okay? For the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet a boy, he began to seek the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the ashram and the carved images and the metal images. Here we see of Josiah that he began to reign when he was 8. 8 years later, when he was 16, it says that he began to seek the Lord. I believe that he was taught before that, but we see him making a decision based upon his teaching. We see that he began to seek the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, so he'd been about 20 years old, he begins to act upon those things. It says that he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the ashram, and the carved and metal images. Now, if you've looked throughout Israel's history, you know that removing all those idols and things would have not necessarily been an easy thing. There had been a lot of resistance as it became entrenched into the people, into the hearts and minds of the people there. And so Josiah is taking quite a stand here, isn't he? And he's doing that at a young age. And you can kind of see the progression and the development as he is taught these things, as he knows about David and his father, and then he begins to earnestly seek those things when he is 16 years old. And then when he's 20, he begins to put into action the things that he knew, the things that he sought. And he began to remove the idols and the images, to remove those and purge, it says, Judah. We know later in Josiah's life, he accompanied that not only with removing the bad, but also seeking the good, seeking to do what God would have him to do. And he initiated many reforms to try to bring people back to serving God. One of the points we need to see here, though, as we look at that older man that made those tough decisions to serve God, to put away the idols, and to make reforms for service to God. That began with a teaching process. That began with the teaching process. That began, we see also, as he began to make that decision to serve and follow after God. It is vital that we would teach our kids so that they can begin to seek God on their own after they have heard of these things, so that they can put these things into practice in their lives. The time will come when the decision will need to be made. Which path are you on? Are you following after the path of God or the path of selfishness and sin? And so we need to teach our children. Teach our children. I also want to note that we need to think about preparing for the kingdom. Preparing for the kingdom. And so there's actually a lot of lessons to be learned. A lot of lessons to be learned. First of all, I believe that as adults, we need to look at children not only to teach them, but really also to learn from them. To learn from them. And as we do that, we begin to make preparations ourselves to be a part of that kingdom if we've not made that decision. In Matthew chapter 18, in verses 3 and 4, here we see that Jesus holds up children as possessing the kind of character needed for kingdom citizens. Matthew 18, verse 3, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Here we see the word turn. The idea carries with it repentance, or some versions, I believe, say converted. Unless you are converted and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And he goes on to specify the character trait that he's specifically talking about here. It is one of humility. So adults need to learn from children. Consider their character. Consider that we also need to learn from children, specifically in humility. Sometimes as we grow up, we become conceited. We think we know everything. We're adults. You know, we're not going to have to listen to other people. We're certainly not going to have to listen to children. But Jesus says that's not the case. You need to lower yourself. You need to humble yourself. This world is not about you. How many adults, I wonder, you know, wonder what percentage of adults believe that the world revolves around them. The world, it's all about them and what they have to think and do. Everything is concerned with them. Well, Jesus says you're going to have to lose that mentality if you want to be a Christian. You're going to have to be like a little child. You're going to have to be dependent instead of independent, humble instead of proud, trusting instead of self-guided. And so we see the importance of children. In Ephesians chapter 5, in verses 1 and 2, he's going to talk about being imitators of God as children. We need to not only learn from children to be humble, but we also as adults need to learn from children to be impressionable. Impressionable with God and who He is, and to imitate Him. In Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God." We need to look to children as we make preparations or think about or look toward becoming citizens of the kingdom. As we are citizens of the kingdom, as we've made that choice and that decision, we need to continue to look from to children and learn from them and their humility and their ability to look and imitate. Those things are vital and important. But let me also talk to children. Children, you need to obey your parents, for example. In Ephesians chapter 6, we see that instruction. But I want you to see part of the reason that you are to obey your parents. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, there says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother." Sometimes it's hard to listen to your parents because they tell you things that you don't want to hear. You know, that's something that adults have to deal with as too. They might not want to have to listen to their boss. They might have to change things that they don't want to change or do things they don't want to do. And so there's some difficulty in listening to your parents because it doesn't align with what you want to do. But notice what he says about listening to your parents. He says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." It is the right thing to do to obey your parents and to listen to your parents. It is what God wants that you would listen to your parents. Because I believe that your parents have what is best for you in their mind and in their heart. They're not choosing things to make you mad, make you upset. They're not trying to make your life difficult, believe it or not. But what they are trying to do is to teach you about God and teach you what is right. And this is true for kids and adults. That means changing what we want. Because we don't always want what God wants us to have. We don't always want what is best for us. And so that involves changing what we want and listening to what is good and wise. In Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, there it says, "Hear, O son, a father's instructions, and be attentive, that you may gain insight, for I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching." I want you to consider that children need to listen to their parents because it is the right thing to do. But let me also suggest, as you listen to their instruction, that they are setting you down a path of what is good and right. They are setting you down a path toward God. And so in essence, when you listen to your parents, you are making preparations for the kingdom. When you listen to your parents, you are being trained to listen to and respect authority. You're being trained to change what you want for what is good and right. You are being trained. So is it important that you listen to your parents? I say absolutely. Absolutely. Let me expand upon that a little bit. In 1986, there was a book that was published according to this title. It says, "All I Really Needed to Know, I Learned in Kindergarten." I learned in kindergarten. Some of the first instructions in this book, as he expanded upon that thought, was share everything. Play fair. Don't hit people. Put things back where you found them. Say you're sorry when you hurt somebody. As you think about those foundational things, the point would apply here as well. The instructions that we are taught when we are young are profitable for a lifetime of really service to God. They are making preparations for when we would make our own decisions to serve God. The instructions we are taught when we are young will serve us for a lifetime. In fact, if you were to consider many of the problems that adults have, it comes from ignoring some of those kindergarten instructions, doesn't it? How often do we see fighting and bickering and strife and trouble between people because they simply don't share? They don't play fair. They hit people. They don't put things back. They don't say they're sorry. We see an arrogance and a pride as we are removed from the instructions of our childhood. Part of what's involved in that is it's very easy for us to see the faults in others, isn't it? But it's not as easy to apply those things to ourselves. Well, when we think about the instruction that we are giving children this week and onward, those are foundational concepts. Believing who God is, trusting in Him, loving God with all your heart, and all the characters and examples that we're going to be looking at. Those are foundational for children as they prepare to make a decision later in life. And it's also something that adults need to listen to as well, isn't it? Because we never leave those basic foundational instructions. Sometimes as adults we need to learn to return to Bible class, to use the idea that we're looking here. We need to go back to our children's classes. You know, sometimes the answer really is God, and we just need to go with that. We need to love and serve Him with all that we have. We need to listen to those kids' stories, because they're not just kids' stories. There's a lot to be learned. Well, I'm excited about this week. I hope that you are as well. I think it's a great topic to think about kingdom kids, because we need to be teaching our kids about the kingdom. And we need to learn, continue to learn about that as well. We're going to be singing a song of invitation. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you have an opportunity to make that decision to become a part of the kingdom in which you are transferred from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of His beloved Son. You can make that decision by believing that Jesus is the Christ, repenting of your sins and turning away from them, confessing that Jesus is the Christ, and being baptized in the water for the forgiveness of your sins. That is an enactment of the very saving act of Jesus Christ, as we are buried with Him and raised to walk in newness of life. What that means is we've made a lifelong commitment. If you're here this morning and you are a Christian, and you're not living according to the commitment that you made, you need to make changes here as well. If there's anybody that's subject to the invitation, please come as we stand and sing at this time.